I'd just like to share with you before I begin the sermon, there was not a mean bone in my body, and I love kids. And some of your kids are the future of the choir. But when they're practicing during Mass, I love them, their grace, I love their voices, but let's take them outside. So I'm trying to be nice, but let's try to keep it quiet in church too. You know, it's like this. I know how it is when you have lots of little children and they make noise and you get used to it, but you know, in church it can be sometimes a distraction. So we really appreciate it. If you have a little one making noise, we love them. I was annoyed with it once myself. I used to kick the pews, my mom had to hold smack. Okay, so we love our noise makers, but I love them outside. Okay. For the sermon this morning, we're going to be talking about Immaculate Conception Academy, 25th anniversary of the school. And when we think of education, we know how important education is. Children are very formative. They're very impressionable. And how quickly they grow up. And of all the things that we can instill in them, the most important thing is the faith. That is going to be their guiding light to the rest of their life. As Jesus says, what is the profit of man if he gains the whole world, but he suffers the loss of his soul? My dear friends in Christ, you parents, your most important job is to get your kids to heaven. Yes, yes, you got to feed them, clothe them, shelter them. Got to educate them so they can make something of their life as they grow up, be a responsible adult. But more important than anything, is getting them to heaven. And you have to be like a shepherd. A good shepherd protects the flock, drives away anything that would injure the sheep. And how important it is when we think of Catholic education, how important it is that we instill the faith in our children. They are the future of the church. Now, when we think of Catholic education, I look back in my days and I say, what a wonderful thing it was that I had nuns to teach me. I still remember second grade teacher Sister Mary Grace, sixth grade teacher Sister Juliana. They instilled the faith in me. And so for this occasion, when we celebrate the 25 years of Immaculate Conception, we'd like to thank the sisters. We'd like to thank Mrs. Block for many years. And we've come a long way in how quickly your children have grown up. And we hope and pray that God and our Blessed Mother continue to bless Immaculate Conception Academy. As we were mentioning how important it is that we protect our children, especially in these times, with the access to the internet, how easily can our children be destroyed, their innocence be destroyed, if we're not careful and vigilant. Parents, you got to make sure you supervise what your kids watch, what they look at, etc., etc. And it's not like I'm totally foreign to this, because we have churches all around the world, all around this country. And how many a parent have called me up in just utter dismay because they were careless and their children got into things they shouldn't have got into and they lost their innocence. Terrible thing. We have border boys and girls in Omaha. We've had for many years. We have so many kids, there's no way we can supervise everybody. That's why about 15 years ago we said, no more phones. If you cannot live without your cell phone, I'm giving you a ticket tonight and you can go home. If you want to be here, you've got to throw in your cell phone because there's too much occasions of sin for you to fall into. Now, did that thought come out of the blue? The thought came to my mind one day. I told Father Gronenthal, tell all the boys turn on their phones right now. No time to delete anything. One boy had some things that were sent to him that were very, very bad. And I said, you know, we can't supervise all this. If they want to call home, we got two landlines, they call anytime they want. If they want to get on the internet, we got internet access in the rectory, they can look up things, search, research. But we're going to be more concerned about their salvation. Our Our Lord said, if your eye be an occasion of sin, pluck it out. Your hand be of sin, cut it off. Now, he didn't say maim yourself. Don't injure yourself. That'd be against the fifth commandment. But he meant, what's more dear to your eye, your hand, your foot? Nothing should get in the way of our saving our soul. And we can't be playing games with the salvation of our soul. How important it is we make sure we protect ourselves from occasions of sin, especially the children. You know, when I deal with kids, especially when I teach, I think in the back of my mind, I teach high school, two periods. You know, the Catholic education theology I teach them, this is probably all they're going to get. When they get out of school, their chances of studying are going to be pretty minimal. Maybe a little occasional, what they hear in a sermon, or they might go to some class or something like that, but for the most part, what they get is what they're going to have the rest of their life. That's why I like to hammer in the faith. Provide the facts, the evidence, the proof. Explain how we defend our faith. Why we believe what we believe. I want those kids when they leave school to know there is a God. They have a purpose in life. The divinity of Christ. That there is one church that Christ founded. That's the Catholic Church. How important it is, that gift of faith to the children. And for that reason, we give thanks to God and our Blessed Mother for Immaculate Conception Academy. I got to tell you this, interestingly, when we think of Catholic education and Catholic schools, Satan knows the good that Catholic schools do. Satan knew the good that religious sisters provide, the education. And that's the reason why when we think of Vatican II and the change, we think of the Mass, how they destroyed the Mass and came up with the Novus Ordo. We think of how they changed the consecration of bishops, the form to consecrate bishops in 68, New Mass 69. But we forget they tampered with everything. They liberalized the seminaries. One good example of this, and we passed this out in years past in our doctrine class, a Time magazine article, Liberating the Greg. The Jesuit seminary in Rome, founded by St. Ignatius in 1551, after Vatican II, they got out the conservative cardinal and put this liberal priest. He was a sociologist from Canada. He made the seminary co-educated. Could you imagine that, bringing women into the seminary, about 300 women? They introduced alcohol. They told the seminarians, you don't have to wear your cassocks anymore, you just wear lay clothes. They introduced pornography. Could we imagine this? Pornography in a seminary? They introduced Protestant professors. Who do they think they're kidding? They intentionally destroyed the Gregorian Institute. Intentionally destroyed it. Now, we have our doctrine class Monday to Friday. We have an article. One of the professors from the Gregorian Institute, his name was Aguirre Tandy. We have an article from Life magazine and Time magazine in 1952. He left the priesthood and declared himself a communist. The infiltration within the church was very subtle, but it was very effective. Now, what did they do with the nuns? Under Pope Pius XII, the convents were booming. The Catholic schools were booming. As we've said before, in our little parish, outside Chicago, and we were one of many. We have 500 families. We have 1,000 kids in our school. 1,000. Most of the teachers were certified sisters. So what did Vatican II say to the sisters? There's a saying, it's not broken, don't fix it, right? It's working out, don't change it. No. They told the sisters, experiment. Try new things. You don't want to wear your habit. Wear a modified habit. Don't wear your habit at all. Dress like a laywoman. You don't want to live in a convent. Experiment. Get an apartment. You want to pray prayers in common with the other sisters like a group? Not to pray on your own. They did this very subtly. Experimentation for a couple of years. And then after that, come together again and figure out what you want to do. And then you got to send it to Rome and get it approved. And by that time, the convent life is just right out the window. There's a book called The Sisters in Crisis, written by a woman from Notre Dame University, from South Bend, Indiana. She said, between 1965, out of Vatican Council II, and 1995, 30 years, there were less than, they lost 100,000 sisters teaching. So what does this translate? Schools closed down, and kids no longer had Catholic education because of the modernization, liberalization. What a terrible thing. Satan knew the good that sisters do in Catholic school systems. How many schools have closed down? We can see an enemy has done this. For us to have the gift of the true faith, the true Mass, Catholic education is a grace from God, and we give it to Our Lady to help us to continue this good work. What a wonderful thing it is to have a Catholic school. And if you can't make it to the school, you homeschool or maybe live at a greater distance, make sure to get catechism to instill the faith in them. We know that especially parents are very busy. Sometimes you have a lot of things on your hands. That's understandable, but this is where we want to help you out so that your kids, like I said, the future of the church, they understand and receive the faith. I want to say something about public schools. I went to 1 year for public school in Chicago. It was a zoo. You had to learn how to fight, violence, drugs, immorality, you name it. It was as corrupt as can be. That was over 50 years ago. We have a woman in our parish, Norma Steffes. She's a refugee from communist Cuba. When we talk to our students about communism, I always have her come in and tell a few words about what was life under Fidel Castro in communist Cuba. She said, Bishop, you're not going to believe it, but I substitute teach. I go into these public schools, and some of them have posters of known, renowned communists on the wall, praising that these guys were great, and this is the way to go. The communists knew if you want to bring about communism or socialism in the country, get to the youth. And so, within a short amount of time, we have socialists and communists and atheists, and you name it, in our school systems, our public school systems, brainwashing the kids. There was a woman, Phyllis Schlafly. She was an ambassador under President Reagan, and she was Catholic and very, very conservative. She wrote the Menzenti Report. But she did a documentary on the evils of public schools, and she said that statistics show that over 90% of kids, Catholic or Protestant, that go to public schools lose their faith. Over 90%. This documentary was made in the late 80s, early 90s. Why is that? Because there's no such thing as secular education. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and all this stuff, there's something more that's being taught. A way of, a philosophy, a way of life. Concepts are being taught by the teacher. And God help us if they're not a Catholic teacher. Their own immorality or lack of belief or their whatever, their isms are going to be incorporated by the kids. So we're grateful to Our Lady for Immaculate Conception Academy. Do you know, little fact here, that when we started our school in southwestern Wisconsin, Sister Alfonsa was saying, right here, Prairie du Chien is where Father Marquette, the famous Jesuit missionary, he discovered the Mississippi River. And he wanted to call the Mississippi River the Immaculate Conception. So we got to have an Immaculate Conception Academy. He said, no, we can't duplicate it, we can't do that. Let me think about it. Then the thought came to my mind, well, let's call it Mary Immaculate. That's about the same. So they call it Mary Immaculate Academy. And about a day or two later, Sister writes me back saying, did you know, in the writings of Father Marquette, he always addressed Our Lady as Mary Immaculate. Oh, there you have it. You have Mary Immaculate, Conception, Father Marquette, you got the connection there. So on this occasion, we'd like to once again thank our sisters, thank Mother Brendan, especially thank Mrs. Black, Elizabeth, for many years of dedication. We're very, very appreciative of that. Tell you one last story here. I don't like to give long sermons, but this is kind of an interesting story. Back in, I think, 1999, when we were going to start the school here, we had people asking, we've got to start the school, we've got to start it now. Sister Agnes was flying back from visiting her parents in Colorado Springs. Her dad was very sick. It's like after Christmas sometime. So I told the sisters, when she flies in, tell her I got to talk to her about something important. So she comes in, I said, how was your visit? How's your dad doing? You know, blah, blah, blah. I said, the reason I'm talking to your sister is that we need to start a school in Minnesota. She said, great idea. I've been thinking about that for a long time. We're going to start tomorrow. And she said, well, that's funny. I said, sister, you're leaving tomorrow to start a school in Minnesota. She said, that's really funny. She was already teaching in Omaha. And you know, you have a bonding with your kids and kind of like, they're my students. It was a sacrifice. But she was willing to make that sacrifice, and she and Sister Giuseppe came up here, and we started, and God provided, and it's grown wonderfully, come together very nicely. So we're very grateful. When opportunities present themselves, we want to start as many schools as possible. The Sisters of the Congregation of Mother of God, the sisters here, we have 13 schools, and we're establishing as many schools as we can because your children are the future of the church. The neat thing about sisters is this. They don't do it for money because they got a vow of poverty. They do it because they love God and they love your children's soul. And we want your kids to get to heaven. Whether your kids go to Mega Deception Academy or homeschool or whatever, make sure they're always getting their catechism. And make sure that you are doing it consistently. Your kids' faith is what's going to help them get to heaven. And if we can get them when they're young, it's going to stick with them the rest of their life. There's one story I'd like to tell you. And you already said, Bishop, that you don't like to give a long sermon, so you better make this the last. It will be the last. One of our priests, when I was in seminary, Father Clement Klubisch, he was from the Archdiocese of Omaha. Didn't go along with the changes offered the Latin Mass. He one time told us, the seminarians, a story. He said one day he was making a visit to an elderly home, Holy Communion, and visiting the sick. As he was leaving the home, there were some gentlemen in the general area, and he said, hey, Father. And Father Klubisch said, well, hello to you. And he thought, I don't know this man. But he greeted me, and I got time, open up a conversation with him. So they got talking, and Father said, are you Catholic? He said, I think I am. I remember making my first communion, but that's about all. The guy looked like maybe he's in his 80s. Trying to figure out, what's your story? Why have you not gone to church since then? Father's a long story. Father sat down and says, I got the time, tell me. He said, well, my mother put me on a boat from Europe to come to the United States because my father was an alcoholic. We were very poor. And she said, you have no future here anymore. And I said to my mom, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to leave. And she said, you have to. And he was crying. His bags were packed. And she was going to take him to the end of the long driveway, and he could be picked up and brought to the ship. But the mother took this little boy's hand, put it over her heart, and says, promise me you can always say 3 Hail Marys for Mary's protection. And he made that promise, and that man said those 3 Hail Marys, even though when he got to the United States, he was just trying to survive, and he got away from church, and, you know, 1 year became 10 years, became how many years he got away from church. But he always said those 3 Hail Marys. And Father Klubisch said to him, you know, I'll help you make a good confession. I'll help you to examine your conscience. help me make it the act of contrition, and let's do it now. Father said, the man said, that'll be fine. Father heard his confession, and he left. Father Kubish went back there the next month, going to be doing the rounds once a month. He inquired about that man, and they said, oh, he passed away, Father, he passed away a couple weeks ago. But the interesting thing is that little boy's faith and what his mother told him and keeping his promise to our lady. So we want all of us, when all their children go to heaven, we know how the devil's so clever in so many occasions of sin, how important it is to protect your kids. Remember, parents, Catholic education, and especially if it begins at home, living your faith and being a good example. You can't tell your children, don't use bad language, blankety blank. That ain't a good example. Or make sure you pray your prayers if you don't pray your prayers. We have to set the example of how important it is to receive the sacraments, pray our prayers, avoid occasions of sin, and live the faith. So our children are the future of the church. How important it is that they grow up so quickly, we take and make the time to educate them properly. And for this, we thank God and Our Lady for Immaculate Conception. Once again, we thank Mrs. Block, the sisters, Father Brendan, and all those who have helped to keep Immaculate Conception Academy going during the past 25 years. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.